Wanna be a baller, shot caller, 20 inch blades on the Impala. Caller, get laid tonight. Switch a roll tight, got spray with ice. I hit the highway, making money to fly away. But it's got the tip going away.
Smashing, making my ends. Smoking big killer, getting high in the Benz. Big ballin', smashing, making my ends. Smoking big killer, getting high in the Benz. In the wind, smoke goes as I crawl down on those. Twangin' Lorenzo, smoke all up in my nose. Your eye get froze. Hey, you see my low, candy red too low. Then my top nine show, hit it, my remote. Sit it in my East Presidential B12 with the AMG kit and go quit. As I get high from KC to H-Dot, connecting Southside. Now we worldwide, watch me high side. Fat pet, blowing killer, can't be denied. 187 thugs, oh yeah, we got love. Blowing sticky, green and flow, woo, and that bug. Wanna be.
I think, John, I think that's a historical baller. Classic right there. Come on, future ballers. Lil Troy. This is historic ballers, of course, guys. Okay, guys? Number one, history. Number two, balling. Out of control. You know, odd billionaires. The focus is, of course, American up front. You know, late 1700s, 1800s, 1900s. We'll cover it as long as it's interesting. I think today's will be interesting. Of course, we did number one was Cornelius the Commodore Vanderbilt. I forget what he was coming in at. He came in high. We're dealing with high-level historic ballers. And number two, of course, just out today, Spotify support. It's on patreon.com/firecrotch. And that's where you can go support the show. We need your support. You guys are the producers, okay? You can leave comments in there, talk about history, talk about what you want to see on the show, because I want to hear from you. You know, I love history. I spend most of my time watching, if I watch anything, it is history, biographies, war. And I'm really loving this. So I appreciate everybody that's listening. It will be on Spotify and other platforms. It'll be on, I'm sure, iTunes. So wherever you get your podcast, man, tell a friend, tell somebody who loves history. Today, you know, no, well, that's how the show will grow. You know, obviously it's free to listen, you know, but that isn't baller, man. Kick in a buck or two over there on patreon.com/firecrotch. Support your local, baller, your balling history. So today is from this just came across my desk, you know, John Jacob Astor. And it's not as familiar as, of course, Vanderbilt and JP Morgan and, you know, Rockefeller and these fun guys that we've all, they're just in the zeitgeist of billionaires. But shout out Shat Radio over there, the dog, the Wigga dog, dropped this one on me on just also join the Discord. Original Wiggus. That's the show I do with Clifford Focus. Catch us live so you can join in and have fun with us. And that one's a live show with where we interact with the people listening and watching. So that's a fun one. That's every Wednesday. That's like a free, you know, a more it's focused. We have segments, but it's engagement. We can talk to each other that way, and we smoke some bud and drink some brews and have a good time, man. So that's always a good time. That's 9:40 p.m. Eastern time on Focus CDS. CDs, like CDs nuts. Focus CDS. So Shat popped John Jacob Astor on me and said he was a fur / opium. Oh, and he smuggled opium into China. And I said, what? This isn't a popular one. This isn't one you're going to find on the History Channel. You know, and if it is, maybe it's a little bullet point. It's not something I would have heard of him. German-born American businessman, merchant, real estate. I mean, this guy was a slumlord to the core. But you know, it's like, that's what happens with capitalism. That's why there's like a fair balance that all Americans want to see. But unfortunately, usually the first we're finding out on one and two, you'll find out if you listen to them, you know, they're extremely self-centered, selfish, greedy, all the qualities that go into crushing your opponents, your competition. Rockefeller did it masterfully, if you want to say that. You know, as a human being, you go, this shit sucks. But, you know, I'm sure his great fucking times 40 are maybe well off. I don't know. And they can be their own person. I mean, I don't have it in me to crush nations, but to each their own. And if not, we'll string them up. You know what I mean? This John Jacob Astor made his fortune mainly in the fur trade. He had a monopoly. I mean, this is the era before monopoly, before Rockefeller got taken to court, and oil companies broken up, right? And the railroads got broken up, and so you could do that. And he also, this is a good, smuggling opium into China. I mean, he was, you know, 17th century, mixing opium with tobacco was big. China banned it in the early 1700s. And just like anything that gets banned, it's still going to get there if the people want it. You know, look at the opium crisis today in America. And by investing in real estate in and around NYC, Waldorf, if I can say it right for the fifth time, Waldorf Astoria is the Astoria, Queens, the neighborhood in Queens. You know, I believe Astoria. I don't know why that's Astoria, Oregon is the other one, which is guaranteed. I haven't seen this, but I guarantee it's named after these guys, because I believe Astoria, Oregon was where the Goonies were at, where they built that pesky golf course on top of the neighborhood, and Brad Chunk, and you know, had to save the neighborhood. So he was the first prominent member of the Astor family, first multimillionaire in the United States, upwards of 200-300 billion. I believe it was 220 billion after it was all said and done. His net worth, highest amount. So you know, he's in there. He's in the club of ballers. That's for sure. He's born in Germany. Astor immigrated to England as a teenager and worked as a musical instrument manufacturer, mainly flutes. He moved to the United States after the American Revolutionary War, seeing the expansion of population to the West. He entered the fur trade. Built a monopoly, managing a business empire that extended to the Great Lakes region and Canada. Later expanded into the American West and Pacific Coast. Seeing a decline in demand due to changing European tastes, he got out the fur game in 1830, diversifying by investing in New York City real estate. New York City! Hey! Astor was highly wealthy and became prominent patron in the arts in proportion to gross domestic product. He was one of the richest people in modern history. And slumlord of the year. He would buy just random land, not do anything to it. He would buy land in important areas or well sought after areas of NYC, not do anything. I'd let people, they'd either just move on the land, like they didn't do this. You know, you couldn't just, if you did what these homeless people do today, or just people that don't want to rent or don't have money for rent or just go to hell with rent, and they just, you know, go into an empty house. Dude, you were getting a beaten minimum, and then you get laughed. There was no laws protecting you. So he would let people get on there, and maybe they built something. Maybe a guy that didn't even own the land, he just gets on there and it's like, nobody's here. What's the big deal? Starts building. John would come back, you know, get them out, get them, give them their beating, have the cops come, give them their beating, throw them out, then rent out whatever they built. And then that would just keep occurring. Like, he knew that was going to happen. It was just how it was going to be. And he'd let other people build on the land, never selling the land, and then end up taking theirs or buying it and then renting it out for more. That's just how he built. That was his style. And so he's born in Germany. Astor immigrated to England as a teenager, right? Seeing the expansion. This is what he got into early life. Born in 1763 in Waldorf, a town near Heidelberg, Germany, situated on the River Neckar in the southwest Germany. In the Electoral Palatinate, which was a state that was part of the Holy Roman Empire. You know, so a lot of these this will be the third one. You know, they're heavily, they're very religious for the most part. And they usually stick together with their clan. Some of them break away and go to other factions of the church. The electorate had its origins under the rulership of the Counts of Palatine or Lotharingia in 915. Which is in the present-day German state of Baden-Württemberg. He was the youngest son of Johann Jacob Astor and Maria Magdalena von Berg. His three older brothers were George, Henry, and Melchior. In his childhood, Johann worked in his father's butcher shop and as a dairy salesman. In 1779, at the age of 16... he moved to London to join his brother George in working for an uncle's piano and flute manufacturer, Astor and Broadwood. Sounds like a mall store. While there, he learned English and anglicized his name. So he's already starting to remove. He's seeing the ways. Maybe he's already thinking about America. You know, so this is where you change a non-English language personal names to spellings near English sounds. So, like, my last name's Morrow. And it was, if you trace us back, it's like Mick Morrow, and it's spelled M-O-R-R-O-U-G-H, where it is, as now, it's just Morrow, M-O-R-R-O-W. And they did that for jobs, getting hired. And you know, a lot of them didn't want to hire immigrants, so they would, that was like a way of, like, committing to the, well, in America, committing to America, you know, being a patriot and not a immigrant scumbag. So, hey, his older brother. So we got November 1783, just after the end of the American Revolutionary War, which, of course, was the conflict of the American, you know, between American Patriot Forces under G-Dub, commanded and defeated those red cock-sucking coats, you motherfuckers. Astor boarded a ship for the United States, arriving in Baltimore, which is wild that even today, I still have a hard time believing it's south of the Dixie line. So it was part of the South during the Civil War, which is kind of wild. I just think that Baltimore is just right there with New York City, but you know, it's not. There's only 600,000 people there now. Crazy that we have, you see everything. So it's entrenched in crime. Around March of the following year there, he rented a room from Sarah Cox Todd, a widow, and began a flirtation with his landlady's daughter, also named Sarah Cox Todd, you dirty devil. The young couple married in 1785. His intent had been to join his brother Henry, who had established a butcher shop in NYC. Ooh, around that time, dude, you're talking 5 points. You're talking the butcher, you know. You're talking gangs in New York. However, a chance meeting with a fur trader on his voyage had inspired him to join the North American fur trade, which, of course, is the commercial trade of furs and other goods in North America, predominantly in the eastern provinces of Canada and the northeastern American colonies, initiated mainly through French, Dutch, and English settlements, prepare them himself and resell them in London and elsewhere at a great profit. I mean, that opened it up crazy right there. When the West, whoever was in the West at the time was cleaning up. If you had the gut and the balls, you could go out there making, killing, catching, trapping. He had opened his own fur good shop in New York in the late 1780s and also served as the New York agent of his uncle's musical instrument business. After gold was discovered in 1848 near Coloma County, California, Well, it's actually, I'm sorry, it's in El Dorado County. Astor looked for business throughout the U.S. Astor took advantage of this in 1794, where the Jay Treaty was the 1794 treaty between the U.S. and Great Britain that averted war and resolved some other issues after the obviously the Revolutionary War. Which opened new markets in Canada and the Great Lakes region. In London, Astor at once made a contract with the Northwest Company, which was a headquartered in Montreal from 1779 to 1821, competed with increasing success against the Hudson Bay Company, which is the present-day Western Canada and Northwestern Ontario, with great wealth at stake, which from Montreal rivaled the trade interests, then based in London, but Astor imported furs from Montreal to New York and shipped them to Europe. By 1800, he had amassed almost $250,000, the equivalent of $6 million today, and had become one of the leading figures in the fur trade. His agents worked throughout the Western areas and were ruthless in competition. In 1800, following the example of the Empress of China, which was the three-masted square-rigged sailing ship of 360 tons, wild. Initially built in 1783 for service as a privateer. After the Treaty of Paris brought a formal end to the American Revolutionary War, the vessel was refitted for commercial purposes. The first American trading vessel to China. Astor traded furs, teas, and sandalwood with Canton in China, which is the largest city of southern China on the Pearl River. U.S. Embargo Act, which is enacted by Congress as successor replacement law for the 1806 Non-Importation Act and passed as the Napoleonic Wars continued. In 1807, however, disrupted Astor's import-export business because it closed off trade with Canada. With the permission of President Thomas Jefferson, Astor established the American Fur Trade Company on April 6, 1808. He later formed subsidiaries, the Pacific Fur Company, which functioned from 1810 to 1813, and the Southwest Fur Company, in which Canadians had a part. In order to control fur trading in the Great Lakes areas and Columbia River region, his Columbia River trading post has Fort Astoria, established in 1811. Was the first United States community on the Pacific coast. He financed the overland Astor expedition in 1810 to 1812 to reach the outposts. Members of the expedition were to discover the South Pass, which is on the Continental Divide in the Rocky Mountains, southwest of Wyoming, and through which hundreds of thousands of settlers on the Oregon, Mormon, and California trails used to later pass through the Rocky Mountains. Astor's fur trading ventures were disrupted during the War of 1812, where America and its indigenous allies against the UK had participation by Spain and Florida, and the United States declared war on those cocksuckers, you motherfuckers, you're going to get it. When the British captured his trading post in 1816, he joined the opium smuggling trade. His American Fur Company purchased 10 tons of Ottoman-produced opium from the Turkish Empire and shipped the contraband to Canton in China on board the packet ship Macedonian. Astor later left the Chinese opium trade and sold opium solely in Britain. So, you know, he was like, listen, let's get these fuckers addicted. Oh, governor, can I borrow some of your opiates, please? I have a date with a fine young lady. I'd like to pound her at me flat. Astor's business rebounded in 1817 after the U.S. Congress passed a protectionist law in the economic policy of restraining imports from other countries through methods such as tariffs on imported goods, quotas, and a variety of other government regulations that barred foreign fur trades from the U.S. The American Fur Company came to dominate trading in the area around the Great Lakes, absorbing competitors in a monopoly. Astor had a townhouse at 233 Broadway in Manhattan and a country estate at Hell's Gate, Northern New York. In 1822, Astor established the Robert Stewart House on Mechanic Island in Michigan as headquarters for the reorganized American Fur Company, making the island a metropolis of the fur trade. Washington Irving described this at length. Well, who is Washington Irving? Good question. Short story writer, essayist, biographer, historian, dipset, diplomat. He wrote the short story Rip Van Winkle and The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, which is what? A graveyard that I believe Vanderbilt is buried in, I want to say. Described this at length based on contemporary documents, diaries, etc., etc. And his travelogue, Historia, book published in 1836, Astor's commercial connections extended over the entire globe, and his ships were found in every sea. He and Sarah moved to a townhouse on Prince Street in Manhattan. Fun fact, John Jacob Astor, which would be his great-grandson, John Jacob Astor IV, died on the Titanic while returning from his honeymoon. Fun. That's a fun fact you can bust out at parties. And he was he tinkered as an inventor, wrote novelist over here, while still managing to increase the family fortune through real estate, particularly the Waldorf Astoria Hotel. In 1910, the 47-year-old millionaire caused a scandal when 5 months after his divorce, he began courting the 18-year-old debutante, Madeline Force. The two married on September 10th, 1911. Right before 9/11. That's kind of crazy. One day after would have been 9/11, 1911. The couple then set off on honeymoon, traveling from New York to Bermuda to Egypt and then on to Europe. When Madeline became pregnant during the trip, the couple decided to go home. Hey, bitch, I ain't dragging you around here all swolled up, looking pregnant, debutante. Both classic VHS tape pornos, just so you didn't know. And also, it could be called the sinking of the Titanic. Could be he had a giant hog and was sinking it into Madeline. So they boarded the Titanic in France on April 10th, 1912. No amount of wealth could save them from you're telling me that no amount of wealth. I mean, you're telling me that somebody there couldn't be bought off. You literally could have just signed your. I'm surprised there wasn't like a sign your life away where they were just for a fucking life raft. On the night of April 12th, 1912, when the liner struck an iceberg and began to sink, Madeline, her maid, and her nurse were all given a place on the lifeboat. But John was told that he and his valet, that's a part-time slave, right? Valet is a weird word as we know it now. And it's like, pull up the car. But now that was like, go, hold my dick. I have to piss. Get the valet. Would have to wait until all the ladies were off the ship before they could be evacuated. Reports claim that John then helped two women, Ida Hippock and her 17-year-old daughter, Jean, into the boat before telling his wife, "You're in good hands and I will meet you in the morning." John's course, he did not meet her in the morning. He did not. I say again, John did not meet Madeline in the morning. John's corpse was one of only 333 bodies recovered from the sea. He was brought back to New York and buried in Manhattan. And the gold watch he was found with was given to his oldest son and heir, Vincent. He didn't hide it up his ass. You see this watch? He hid it up his ass. From all the Titanic scum trying to rob him, who wore it for the rest of his life. Madeline gave birth to a healthy son on August 14, 1912, christened John Jacob Astor. This is getting ridiculous, the sixth, although he is sometimes incorrectly called John the Fifth. Oh, he hates that. Don't you fucking call me the fifth, you fucker. Do they just call each other the sixth and the fifth for short when they're all around? I guess you could do that, or because they're all middle name the same. Who immediately inherited a $3 million trust. So that'd have been what at the time? $3 million, that's what? Three times that bitch by 15? Get about 45 mil. Madeline received his house and a $5 million trust fund. We kicked her. That's you're dealing with almost $100 million, right? Though she lost both after remarrying, as John's will stipulated, she must forfeit the fortune unless she remains single. G shit. I mean, the Astros are deep in American, society. John Jacob Astor V, not to be confused with John Jacob Astor, the fucking 6th, 3rd, 2nd, and 4th, won an Olympic gold medal for Great Britain. Oh, you son of a fuck. Not American. 1908 in London. Featured a number of sports that are no longer found in the modern games. Well, they got to make it harder. When the blacks came along, you can't just have fucking... I mean, these games were built for white people. Including running deer shooting. Woo! That sounds fucking awesome. Tug of war. You got to be fucking with me. And Judy Palm rackets was also included, though only Britain fielded a team. So, I mean, did they get the gold? Astor was a member in both singles and doubles. He and his partner, Van Pennell, played only twice, on April 30th and May 1st, to beat their fellow Brits and win the doubles gold medal. Astor then won a bronze in the singles tournament, despite only playing one match. That's an easy-peasy Japanese, bro. I mean, I guess you're not going to take the goddamn gold medal. You know, they were like, this shit wasn't even a competition. Give me that shit. Astor continues to love the game. And that of his sister sport, squash rackets, not to be confused with just rackets. In 1922, he followed his sister-in-law, Nancy, into politics as MP for Dover. And despite losing a leg during World War I, he competed in and won the parliamentary squash rackets championship. This fucking one-legged son of a bitch. Woo! I mean, they're knee-deep connected to monarchs and presidents. And also incestuous affairs, wealthy and political ambitious families intermarried to the point that by the end of the 19th century is possible to claim kinship with almost everyone else. Sister, mother, slash cousin, aunt, slash grandma, slash lover, slash sexy goddess Asta. In 1981, Brooke Astor recalled, my husband Vincent used to say that one of the reasons for the various Astor success was that they always married above themselves. It became a family tradition, he said, as later on they married with the Skirmerhorns and Wellings and Beekmans. In politics, the Astors had close ties with the Roosevelt family. In 1844, William Backhouse I's daughter, Laura, married Franklin Delano, the great uncle of future president Franklin D. Roosevelt. The family connection continued when in 1878, Helen Schermerhorn Astor, daughter of the Mrs. Astor, married James Roosevelt, becoming Franklin D. Roosevelt's sister-in-law. And lastly, Helen's daughter married Theodore Robinson, the nephew of Theodore Roosevelt. So they're just weaseling their way in, just becoming big time. Cup of coffee in the big time. The English branch of the Astor family, meanwhile, found itself mixing with their aristocracy, to the extent that they can count members of the British royal family as their relatives. 1929, Rachel Spender Clay, granddaughter of William Wardour, first Viscount Astor, married David Bowes Lyon, the brother of Elizabeth, Duchess of York, and the future queen consort of George VI. The Astor family could now claim kinship with the monarchy. Not only was Raquel the sister-in-law of George VI, but her son, Sir Simon Bowes Lyon, is Elizabeth the second's first cousin. So these guys, man, they're running deep, involved. So Astor begins buying land in NYC in 1799, acquired sizable holdings along the waterfront. After the start of the 19th century, flush with China trade profits, he became more systematic, ambitious, and calculating by investing in New York real estate. In 1803, he bought a 70-acre farm on which he built the Astor Mansion at Hell's Gate. The property ran west of Broadway to the Hudson River between 42nd and 46th Streets. That same year and the following year, he bought considerable holdings from the disgraced Aaron Burr, not to be confused with the comedian there, Gas Digital. Aaron Burr Jr. was an American politician and lawyer, served as the third vice president. The United States from 1801 to 05. His legacy is defined by his famous personal conflict with Alexander Hamilton. They culminated with Burr killing that punk cocksucker. You cocksucker, I'll fucking pull out on you, son. Don't get clapped. Woo! In 1830s, Astor foresaw the next big boom would be the buildup of New York, which would soon emerge as one of the world's greatest cities. Astor sold his interest in the American Fur Company as well as his other ventures and used the money to buy and develop large tracts of Manhattan real estate. Astor correctly predicted the city's rapid growth northward on Manhattan Island. He had purchased more and more land beyond then existing city limits. Astor rarely built on his land, but leased it to others for rent and their use. So basically, he'll rent to them, do whatever you want, build whatever you want. But when they leave out the part that after they built it, and he would swoop in, find a way to take it back over if it was anything that would fetch more money on the open market. Yeah, I said fetch. And that's just what it do. So, Astor began buying land in New York City in 1799. In 1830s, Astor foresaw that the next big boom would be the build-up of it, which sort of moves. We already covered that. He supported the ornithologist branch of zoology that concerns the study of birds. John James Audubon, who was a French-American self-trained artist, naturalist, and ornithologist. He combined interest in art and ornithology, turned into a plan to make a complete pictorial record of all the bird species of North America. In his studies, Art, Wicked Travels, and the presidential campaign of Henry Clay, who, of course, was the attorney and statesman representing Kentucky in both the U.S. Senate and House of Reps. September 19, 1785, Astor married Sarah Cox Todd. Her parents were Scottish immigrants, Adam Todd and Sarah Cox, although she brought him a dowry, which you don't hear about dowries anymore, but that was when the bride's family gave some money to the husband, right? The husband. So she brought him $300, which I believe was $7,000. And she possessed a frugal mind and business judgment that he declared better than that of most merchants. I mean, she's not a merchant, but I mean, let's be honest, she still is female. She assisted him in the practical details of his business and managed Astor's affair when he was away from New York. They had 8 children, a lot of stillborns in the 8 children. We had a couple, Sarah Todd Astor, stillborn. They had one stillborn. Then you had a Henry Astor II, who was from 1797 to 1799, died. Unnamed son. So he died within a few days of his birth in 1802. You had and then you have John Jacob Astor Jr., his first son, who lived until he was what? Looks like 1791 to 1869, so he's like almost 80, right? If I'm doing the math correctly. And he was sickly and mentally unstable, so I don't know if that could mean a plethora of things. I mean, is it the kind of likes to smell his farts, the guy that likes to sound farts, always trying to fart on you, or is it the, like, you know, thinks there's demons and they're always out to get you. The friendly kind, like the just, you know, bang your head off the wall all day. I don't know if they invented helmets yet, but maybe that's something we can get into. Somebody's cornering their market on tarred helmets, dude. I need to get in that game. I'll trade with you. Magdalena Astor, 1788 to 1832, married first Adrian Benjamin Benson, governor of the Danish West Indies. And secondly, John Bristed in 1820. She was the mother of Charles Astor Bristed, who was a scholar and author, sometimes writing under the pen name Carl Benson. first American to write a full-length defense of Americanism, and is earliest known person to use the coin the term conspiracy theory. I didn't know that. We also had William Backhouse Astor Sr., who was the obviously American business magnate, who inherited most of his father's fortune, worked as a partner in the father's successful export business and massive investment in Manhattan real estate, who married Margaret Alida Rebecca Armstrong, daughter of Senator John Armstrong Jr., the diplomat, statesman, who was a delegate to the Continental Congress and United States Secretary of War under President James Madison. We had Dorothy Astor. Well, she lived to about 80, married Walter Langdon. They owned the Langdon Estate Gatehouse. And then we had Eliza Astor, who lived to, 37, married Vincent Rumpf, a German diplomat, who served as minister of the Hanseatic cities to the United States and Paris. Also, old Johnny Boy, John Jacob A., JJA, was a Freemason, fraternal order, served as master of Holland Lodge in NYC in 1788. Later, he served as a grand treasurer of the Grand Lodge of New York Freemasons. He was president of the German Society of the City of New York for German to assist German immigrants from 1837 to 1841. At the time of his death in 1848, Astor was the wealthiest person in the United States, leaving an estate estimated to be worth at least $20 million, or at least the equivalent of $600 million. By comparison, the fortune of Jeff Bezos was worth approximately $200 billion, similar to Astor, at approximately 0.9% of the U.S. gross domestic product. In his will, Astor bequeathed $400,000 to the Astor Library for the New York public, which was later consolidated with other libraries to form the New York Public Library. He also left $50,000 for a poorhouse orphanage, which is like public housing, like before Section 8. Like, this guy invented like Section 1808, basically, and the orphanage in German hometown of Waldorf. The Astor House is now operated as a museum honoring Astor. It is renowned and popular fest hall for marriages. Astor donated gifts totaling $20,000 to the German Society. I mean, that's, what's that, 10? That's like 30 mil at the time, right? I'm sorry, that's not 30 mil. 10, it's like $400,000. German Society of the City of New York during his term as president from 1837 until 1841. Astor left the bulk of his fortune to his second son, William, because his eldest son, John Jr., was sickly and smelling his own farts in the bathtub. Astor left enough money to care for John Jr. for the rest of his life. That was sweet. I mean, he didn't have to wander the fucking streets. If somebody just couldn't take care of their retarded son at the time back in the 1700s, they just probably set you out to pasture, bro. Like they say, they just released you. I mean, if you didn't know, if you weren't mentally well enough to like know where you lived, you could just open the door and be like a fucking stray cat. And they just wander off, bro, looking for another bathtub to fart in. Astor left enough money so that William continued building the family fortune and was an ancestor of John Jacob Astor III, the financier, philanthropist, and soldier during the American Civil War, prominent member of the Astors, of course. John Jacob Astor IV and the sixth. Astor is buried in Trinity Church Cemetery on the Lower Manhattan, NYC. Many members of the family had joined its congregation, but Astor remained a member of the local German Reform congregation, mainline Reform Protestant denomination in Canada and the U.S. Has about 150,000 members, formed in the beginning of 1630 until 1819, until his death. In the short story, Bartleby, the scrivener, Herman Melville, short story by American writer Herman Melville, first serialized anonymously in two parts, November and December 1853 issue of Putnam's Magazine. You know it. You love it. Used Astor as a symbol of men who made their earliest fortunes in NYC, New York. The pair of marble lions that sit by the entrance of the New York Public Library at 5th Avenue and 42nd Street were originally named Leo Aster and Leo Lennox after Aster, and James Lennox, the bibliophile and philanthropist. His collection of paintings and books eventually became known as the Lennox Library, and then eventually became part of the New York Public Library. Basically, so they're saying he founded it from his own goddamn book collection. That's a lot of books. You got a lot of books there. You like to read more. You one of them college boys. Next, they were called Lord Aster and Lady Lennox. Both lions are males. What is this? Trans? The trans move? Did the gender identities get them back then? I didn't know they did that game. They were doing the fucking communist tactic. Trying to infiltrate America. You will not win. Mayor Fiorello LaGuardia, who, of course, is the American attorney and politician who represented New York in the House of Representatives in 1934 to 1946, renamed them Patience and Fortitude. Gay during the Great Depression. The neighborhood of Astoria in Queens, named after Aster. The one block Aster Place Street in Manhattan, NYC, was named after Aster. There we go. The coastal town of Astoria, Oregon. Fame for Goonies. It doesn't say fame for Goonies, but it is in my book. Named after Aster, as well as an elementary school named in his honor. The background to the founding of this town is described in Washington Irving's Astoria, a book whose writings was financed by Aster. The historic Aster Street in Green Bay, Wisconsin, named after Aster. In 1835, John Jacob Aster founded the town of Aster in Wisconsin. After the town of Aster was united with the town of Navarino to form the borough of Green Bay, one neighborhood was named after him. In 1908, when the Association Football Club, Astoria Waldorf, was formed in Aster's birthplace in Germany, the group added Astoria to its name in his and family's honor. Interesting cat, man. And it's historic ballers, man. I'm watching right now. If you guys check out on, you can get I think it's like $3.99 if you're a Prime member, and they have a history channel. It's called History Vault. And I mean, they're always updating the shows and content. And they make some great biographies that are reenact, you know, they're dramatized, obviously, I've seen Heinz, the Heinz fortune, Post, which will get covered, Coca-Cola and Pepperton. If I'm saying that right, is the Civil War veteran who also was trying to find, he was sick. And was trying to find, that was like right when carbonated drinks were invented, basically. And very popular in America. Like, they had bars, and then this was like seltzers, and they had soda, you know, soda houses. And he was messing with herbs and spices and things that would help his health. He was addicted to opiums. So the guy that invented Coca-Cola, the actual invention of the flavor of Coca-Cola, was invented by an opium addict, a Civil War veteran opium addict. Beautiful fact. I recommend watching it. It's great. It's great on there. You get into the Post versus Kellogg's war, which I'm sure we'll cover that. It's going to get covered. It's a great, great story back and forth with Kellogg's and the brothers at Kellogg's and their invention of cornflakes and Post steals the fucking straight up steals. Like, it's just a known fact. He stole the ingredients and how to make it. He just ripped it right out of the desk of Kellogg at a Will Kellogg at the, it was like called the, Battle Creek, I believe it's Battle Creek, Michigan, which Kellogg founded. And it was like he changed the game in like wellness. You're right. He was like experimenting with wellness and people with nervous breakdowns. And they weren't feeding everybody pills. They were, you know, they'd have them do all these different techniques of trying to get trying to get right. And Post was one of these guys. He died later of a nervous breakdown. Well, actually, he thought he had stomach cancer. Nobody ever told him he had stomach cancer, but he thought he did. And he checked out with a shoddy, checked out with a bang in the Post household, which is always disrespectful. You don't check out in your house, dude. You like walk out respectfully to a forest, a rural area, and you check out there. Let the animals, you know, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Let nature take its course. You don't just leave a mess for your wife, dude. God damn, unless you hate her. I mean, the only people that kill themselves in the house and know people are coming. Like, have some thought. Yeah, you go, I'm checking. But at least, come on. If the last thing, if you were an asshole to like the 10th power, you could make up for your whole life by checking out respectfully in a rural section of property. So check those out. I recommend them. And that's another episode of Historic Ballers, my friends. And I had that screen up the whole time. So that's good. That's always good when I have that screen up. That's nice. I might as well have fucking left it up, Dust. Fucking dumbass. Whatevs. Join the Patreon. Patreon.com/firecrotch. Support the show. You guys are the producers. I want to see comments in there. I want to see what you guys want to see on here. Any historic ballers that are maybe people haven't heard about, you know, that dabbled, made their ball. They balled out in some odd area, which there's a ton in history. And that's what's up, man. Keep balling, falling, making them ends. Getting high with your friends. Original Wiggas, check us out. Say what's up. Say you heard it on Historic Ballers. Leave a comment. We do the show live Wednesdays, 9:40 p.m. on Focus on YouTube, Focus CDS channel, FOCUSCDS. Also the Original Wiggas comedy channel. And come hang with us, man. It's a good time. We're having fun over there. Unless you want to be a motherfucking baller. You want to be on Historic Ballers? Start making your moves now, boys. Let's go.
Be a baller. Shot caller. 20-inch blades on the Impala. Caller, get lit tonight. Switch the road tight. Got spray behind. I hit the highway. Making money to fly away. But it's got to be a better way. A better way. A better way. Rollin' beans on blocks, most real I got shining with shortstop, and that's for real. So tell me how you feel. To make $1 million out my first record deal, shortstop. Putting up the motherfucker here. Really, really don't give a fuck. And I ain't drinking on no beer. Codeine when I sip, pistol grip when I ride. Chunky here for life, baby, it's outside. We all with a reason, expedition navigator. That's how we be riding. Alligator suitcases, putting in the faces, and that's for real. Shining harder than the grill. It's the play of the wheel. Down with the too low, y'all still be a dub. So just get this in blood. I'm down with my own blood. My girl in the ball. You know what's going down. Representing H-Town. I touch around my
side. Wanna be a baller. Shot caller. 20-inch blades. On the Impala. Caller. Get lit tonight. Switch the rope tight. Got spray behind. I hit the highway. Making money to fly away. But it's got to be a better way.
Get better, man, it got to move on. Switch from Motorola to a prime co-phone. Broken two-prone, now you know no dope pigeon. Used to call my spoke, now these floors count my inches. Had to get older, man, it got colder. I done got grown, got a chip on my shoulder. Licks in Kuwait, got licks in Pakistan. Boys don't understand, virtual reality caravan. Double those marble flows, naked hard to rhyme me. Every time I come in, I think they want to sign me. Got the little wheel, diamond grill, then we win. Blaze in the bin, and can't forget. Get the den, the booby down the rubies. I'm watching on the movie. Drop the top of Scott, and you know I'm in the jacuzzi. Bourbon and I'm swerving. Man, it's getting hot. My last name, Lim, I'm dropping time off the light.
They can take it. Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala. Caller, get lit tonight. Switch the road tight, got spread behind. I hit the highway. Making money to fly away. But it's got to be a big way. Better way, yeah.
I hit the highway. Everything's my way. I party every day, all day. Ain't no way boys can't stop as I slide through your neighborhood. Chop, 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 getting straight to the top. I only played a bit, about to close up shop. So stop and dead end, pimp the pin once again. Beat the missiles I seen. Take the levels that you devils can't comprehend. Big body means, as I cross through the side, big blue leans. Now what you talking about? Close your mind. As I sell lost gold, scream and shine. My similes and metaphors, man, through the doors. I constantly close, out the door. Don't take off your clothes, Lord, no. Ain't no time to play. Compass the opening the sucking on the
head. Wanna be a baller, shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala. Caller, get lit tonight. Switch the road tight, got spread my eye. Now hit the highway, making money to fly away. But it's got to be a better way, better way, better way, yeah.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to Historic Ballers. I'm your host, Uncle Dust. Check out other podcasts on Spotify, iTunes, infamous Uncle Dust versus Everything. Go through that back catalog of podcasts, interesting topics, and enjoy that. And as well as...
Didn't do that, you did it. You're a fucking narcotics agent. I knew it. God didn't do that. You did it. You're a fucking narcotics agent. I knew it.
Oh, man. That's what John Jacob Astor said. That's what he said to Thomas Jeff. What the hell are you talking about?
Good evening, my boy.
Hi, hi, hi there, my little droogies.
Well, may I have a little kiss before you go? I'm very lonely here.
I have.
Journey, I advise you to drive at top speed. It'll be a goddamn miracle if we can get there before you turn into a wild animal.
They got AIDS affecting the globe. Laser weapons and clones, conquerors, presidents, death artificial intelligence, frozen organs, post-mortem, alien Malachi York, and 5% is 12% forever. Get your mind together, who decides truth? Guys in ties and suits, violent coups in private schools? Keep our rules are taught, dues are bought, use your thoughts like swords. Paper groceries, the DNA codes, and your vocal cords. The order of the world's already been bought. Robocops programmed to kill, ready for war. Drink your cocaine, cause drugs is legal. Androids rule the streets of New York, screaming fuck the people. Even a priest can fall in love with evil. If the bitch that's sucking his dick can swallow nothing, go for semen. Election day, young Americans will vote for demons. Overachieving, don't we sniff blow or blow up priests? Welcome to Futurama, where the cyborgs will shoot your mama. A cross between Terminator 3 and Tutankhamun. This is Ill Bill reporting for a new assignment. Ready to rock with the Ruger 9 shining. This is Futurama, where the cyborgs will shoot your mama. A cross between Terminator 3 and Tutankhamun. This is Ill Bill reporting for a new assignment. Ready to rock with the Ruger 9 shining.
The news is tight, the news is sightings. The truth's frightening. Kabbalah studies of 51 produced by the Titans. Follow the sergeant, the one handling largest events. Made the top of department, firebombing projects intent. Video farewells, off to majesty, it's all for salary. I never hold a grudge, taking judges to Applebee's. My team's fast, the IRS be thugging with masks. On the run for war games, bugs and funneling cash. I'll bribe anyone, a lawyer with a gun in the stash. Beneath the remains of human ass, the gun in the bag. Gangster, Sherry Ketamine, the medicine, Pirelli spin, the new water.
Speaking to television like Benny Hinn.
We rock blades and pop collars like hockey mage. Pac was framed, they cloned him in the spot near the cage. To vegetate, claiming credit to detonate. Human bombs, nuclear arms, supermarket cancer reform.
Welcome to Futurama, where the cyborgs will shoot your mama. A cross between Terminator 3 and Tutankhamun.
This is Gore-Tex reporting for a new assignment.
Ready to rock with the Ruger 9 shining. This is Futurama, where the cyborgs will shoot your mama. A cross between Terminator 3 and Tutankhamun.
This is Gore-Tex reporting for a new assignment.
Ready to rock with the Ruger 9 shining.
At the Fight Club, fists, knives, and guns. Tribes of Chud, cannibalistic humanoid underground drugs. Rain of blood, sorted like Slayer did in 86. Communicate with aliens, there he is. I'm
made Run DMC, sell me the devil's soul. Make your head explode with the plantable chip, drive remote control. I told you all what to expect. Fuck love and respect. When you're on your knees with the gun to your head. See Masonic temples, lies truth. God's devil, signs proof. Nickel plated nine shoot, crimes loot. I recruit the true mystics. I turn goons futuristic. We're too sadistic. Coming at you with two biscuits. This is Futurama. Where the cyborgs and shoot your mama. Across between Terminator 3 and shooting comets. This is Ill Bill reporting for a new assignment. Ready to rock, Mr. Ruger 9 shining. This is Futurama. Where the cyborgs and shoot your mama. Across between Terminator 3 and shooting comets. This is Ill Bill reporting for a new assignment. Ready to rock, Mr. Ruger 9 shining.